Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is episode 113. I want to welcome Hunter Ginn. Hello, Hunter.
Good morning, Jeff.
How is your hearing?
Much better. Thank you.
We want to say that we would have had episodes out much quicker in the last 4 weeks than we've had. We've obviously had a delay, and that was mostly due to Hunter experiencing an ear issue. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? And how, I mean, because we're music people, and we're obsessive music people. We're the kind of people that if we had to lose either sight or hearing, sight would be the easy choice.
It's not even a choice.
It's not even a choice. Exactly. So you want to just talk about that experience real quick? Because it was scary, and it's very scary
for me. I mean, for a number of reasons. One, because as you say, our favorite thing in the world is music. And doubly scary because I have a show with Agalloch next week.
Yeah.
And not just the show. I wasn't particularly worried about the show because of the volume on stage, but it made rehearsing prior to the show very difficult. And that was troubling for me. I went to the doctor and I thought that it was maybe wax buildup because I wear earplugs, but it turned out to be fluid buildup in my middle ear. But thanks to a potpourri of antihistamines and antibiotics, I am on the mend.
Man, yeah, it's scary. I was feeling for you so bad because
it really threw me into a real depression, the likes of which I haven't experienced in a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm back to my usual cheerful self.
Hell yes. And we will be at the Maryland Death Fest. You will be on stage playing with Agalloch while I will simply be watching and enjoying. That's done on Friday. I'm only going to be there one day, and I guess effectively you as well.
Yep, same.
But that's the day that Arcturus plays right before Agalloch, and that's about a 5.5 hour drive for me. So there was no way I was going to miss that once Agalloch got announced. Never seen Arcturus live, so that's exciting. Hope to meet up with Carl Michael Ida from Aura Noir and, of course, Veb Buenzana. How did we learned to say that when we covered them and then just completely lost it. But anyhow, yeah, so that's going to be a fun day. So this episode should be out before then. So if you're there, hopefully we run into each other, whoever you are. But Hunter and I are looking forward to it. It's going to be great. So we always have long-term plans. I think we both keep either a mental list or a phone list of episodes for Radical Research, casting out 5-10 episodes ahead. So we always have something to choose from and always have a plan. But you muscled in on this episode, which we were going to cover Morning Sign from Sweden, which we're going to do for the next episode, 114. For this one, you said, what do you think about doing the new Thief album? And I hadn't heard it to that point, but it was on the horizon and you had just heard it. Explain why you felt this was important to cover. For one, to bump Morning Sign, which I know you wouldn't do lightly, but also, and I think more importantly, it's a new album. And other than the KO.Blasphemy, which incidentally is on the same label as the New Thief, and also the year-end wrap-up we did last year with the some four of our favorite albums of recent times, we haven't done new stuff. So kind of curious what made you go, aha, we should do the New Thief album.
Well, you and I both fell in love with Thief's record 16 Deaths of My Master last year.
Yes.
I saw they played with us in Portland. They put on a transcendent show. I was a fan of the album before, but the show just confirmed their greatness. I got to hang out with the guys. Dylan and I spent some time together and just really, really had kind of an immediate kinship. And I think it is important, despite my sort of curmudgeonly ways, to keep an open mind about new music, especially when it's extraordinary and when it's really, really relevant. And I got the New Thief immediately because it was just something that was on my radar. And it was and you and I can maybe talk about this a little later, but it was a slow burn for me. It did not have the immediate impact that 16 Deaths had for me. But after my third or fourth listen, it revealed all of its secrets to me. Maybe not all of them, but enough. And I just thought, this is probably the It's in fact, it's not probably. It's the best thing I've heard this year so far. And I just thought that since we both love Thief, we're both fans of the great things that Prophecy does, and this is a new and exciting record. It would be fun to, to go back down the KO Dot road.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more, and here we are. Yeah, I'm on my fourth listen, and I'm having the same response as you, which was that it wasn't as immediate as the previous album, but it's now starting to get its claws into the point that sometime throughout my days, I'll be like a refrain will come into my head, and I'll be like, oh, that's important, because when that starts happening with an album, it's getting its claws in you. And I look forward to further listens. I've refrained from listening too much because I didn't get the physical item until yesterday. I ordered the 2 CD book from Thief's Bandcamp. It was sent to me by Dylan himself. Now we're going to talk about Dylan a lot. This is the main man here in Thief. Name is Dylan Neal. He's known for other things, including Botanist, a band that I've kind of hovered around a little bit this last year and find quite interesting. But no, Thief is clearly his muse. And man, we're happy to know the guy. You know him a little better than I do. I did have some emails with him because there was some weird glitch with the mailing of this copy. So I just emailed whoever was at the band camp, and he was manning that. And he sent me a little email, and I told him who I was. And he said, oh, I love your podcast. And I met Hunter at that Agalloch show, and I saw a dude with Arvo Pärt and Autechre. Is that how you say it? Autechre?
That's how I say it.
Okay, well, I'll say it Autechre. Albums under his arm. And I went up to him, I said, oh, you're my soul brother. And I knew you guys had had a meeting that day. So I thought that's fantastic. And I said,
And then
Hunter.
he was like, what else do you have? And I had a vinyl copy of the reissue of Coil's Music to Play in the Dark Volume 2 and the first Ancient Wisdom record. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, I thought probably all went over really
Yeah,
well.
we're all right.
So yeah, good stuff. Let's dive in. The new album's called Bleed Memory. This is their third album, correct?
Yes.
I've never heard their first.
It's quite good.
Yeah, I know I'm gonna get
I
it.
heard the first I heard it after I heard 16 Deaths.
Yeah, I want to
But
kind of get Bleed Memory under my belt more, and then I'm definitely gonna go to the first one because by this time I'm a fan, a huge fan. So what a band. Here we go. This is a bit from the lead-off track, Apparitions. We are not going to play the full album. We selected 9 snippets out of the 12.
we don't want to
Just
give it all away.
don't want to give it all away, and we encourage you to support and buy. This is Apparitions.
Probably won't be totally apparent based on, the nature of the audio quality from a podcast, but Dylan is quite the producer. has a real fetish for sounds and textures that kind of which Jeff and I adore. Really, really sumptuous physical kind of synth sounds and great drum sounds. And what do you think?
Yeah, listen in the dark to this stuff. Like a lot of music, but this will pop. This will take shape. You'll hear the depth. You'll see the depth. It's yeah, I agree. And for what seems like a very kind of homespun type band, where they do these things themselves, and they're, I know that the days are gone where you have to go to a big 64 track studio and pay a lot of money to get a good sound. Those days are gone, but it's also not easy to establish the kind of audio quality that we hear throughout Thief. And I'm just basing it on, of course, the second record and this one. I don't know how the first one sounds, but man, these are just gorgeous sounding records.
Yes.
So yeah, you make a good point. And it has to be said that, yeah, you're not going to get it out of an MP3 snippet on a podcast, but I think people understand that we are, just simply throwing out examples,
Exactly.
and that hopefully people do their own radical research and sink in if they like it.
We are
Yeah.
merely vessels.
We're merely vessels. I love that. I think it's a great opening track. This is one of those that is already starting to catch me and go through my head when I'm not listening to it. Always a good sign. I'm reminded of two contemporary bands that are a little more above ground, perhaps, than Thief, but still have just tons of integrity and bands we both just adore. I hear crosses in this stuff, and that's just a. Especially the second album that came out last year. There are sonic parallels and emotional parallels between the new Thief and that last Crosses record. And I think you mentioned that too, as soon as you heard Bleed Memory, something about Crosses that came out of your mouth or
Yeah, absolutely.
onto my text. And also I hear more vocally than anything, but certainly some music, A Perfect Circle.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
Yeah.
hear some. I hear shades of that first Perfect Circle album, Mare de Nome, and even Eat the Elephant throughout Bleed Memory. And I couldn't make a stronger comparison and a positive one, because I adore Perfect Circle, especially those two records, the first and third. And yeah, I hear a little bit of that here. So what that tells me is that Thief could be playing on some bigger stages, and maybe will someday.
That I mean, yeah, when this record really got its hooks into me, I thought, Dylan's swinging for the fences and he's making contact. Like I think that this band, and like you said, like has all the integrity of, the groups that we mentioned, but also some really much broader commercial appeal.
For sure. Let's move on. This is the second track from the album, a little bit from Cinderland.
Thank you.
Maybe they should have called this album of the year, taking a page from Faith No More, because so far I really don't have that many this year. It's, I think I mentioned last episode, it's been a disappointing year so far for me, but I do love the new Melvins, but this Thief tops that for sure. As good as that is. And I don't see anything topping this. I really just, this is some of the best modern music being made. And that track kills me.
I mean, you hit it on the head, man. That, okay, so maybe that's what I should have said when you asked me why I wanted to do this, because like, I just don't think that anything's going to top this record this year.
Cinderland is great. This is one where the hi-fi really is, shows the album off in spectacular fashion. It's like that churn underneath it that pushes everything along in its wake. It reminds me, and maybe just because I spent some time recently at the coast, in beautiful Topsail Island, Surf City, you know, and I love being there and just listening to the ocean. It's a little bit, it takes the place of music when I'm there a little bit, because it is musical. I find the waves musical in the sense that it's constant and steady and unending, of course, but like it has these subtle oscillations that color the sound, and like that thrust or that push underneath Cinderland, that churn, that bassy rumble, no matter what's going on top. And there are things going on top too, right? There's brighter, chimier instrumentation happening. There's the vocal, but man, I'm just taken and hypnotized by that churn. So give me more of that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the thing. He's like the ear for the tail too. That's a great point. Like all those different registers and all those different, you know, in it, like you said, to listen in the dark. I mean, this is music that you can see.
Yeah, totally, totally. Before we jump to the next track, Paramnesia, I got a little handwritten note from Dylan when I got the deluxe 2 CD thing. That nice, it's like a 7.5 inch by 7.5 inch book, hardcover book that Prophecy always does so well. And even though I like those things, it's a little maddening of like where to file it in my CD collection, because of course it doesn't fit.
I keep them with my 10 inches.
Yeah. I mean, box sets. I have like on top of my racks, my CD racks, I've got like, you know, the large size boxes, and that's fine. Yeah. It's a beautiful piece of packaging. I recommend anybody who wants this to get that version or the vinyl, but I think this is the only CD version extant. It's just the one and only. So this too has a ton of extra tracks that I haven't even delved into yet, and I cannot wait to get into, because they look exclusive. I don't know how experimental they are. I always have a feeling like something like that would be maybe a little more left field than the album. Who knows? Also features liner notes by our friend and your bandmate, Jason Walt, who's a huge supporter of Thief. He counts Thief in his top 5 bands of all time. So this tells you something. People who are grasping onto this band are really getting into it. But the one thing I wanted to say was I got this handwritten note from Dylan, and he says, Jeff, thanks so much for the order and your support. He said, sorry about the getting it late. It wasn't his fault. Your podcast is super cool, and so are you. But tell me, what was your original face before you were born? Good question.
Excellent question.
I've never been asked that question. I'm wondering if that comes from sort of a kind of a Buddhist place or something.
He's a practicing Buddhist. In fact, yeah, he and their live bass player live in a Buddhist monastery in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I'm sure it's a Buddhist question. Question seems not up to the task here, but I don't know. A Buddhist quest.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, perhaps I don't know. I don't know much about Buddhism. I don't know much.
I'm out of my depths here. Yeah. Same.
But it seems like either something relating to reincarnation or previous lives. And it's funny because it comes at an interesting time. What was your original face before you were born? Well, I was born 55 years ago tomorrow, on the 19th. So it comes at a time when I'm like facing, man, 55 seems like way older to me than 50. When I turned 50, it was fine. I felt good. I still feel good. I feel like I look good for 55. I'm healthy, but man, 55 is old, because that means in 5 years I'm 60, which is unthinkable to the 16-year-old that forever lives inside of me. So I think asking that question at this time in my life was really interesting, and I'm not going to take it lightly. I'm going to think about that question, and yeah, I'm curious where he's coming from there, and I might look into that a little more, just so I can maybe answer his question one day. I don't know. It's interesting. I might be a little challenged with that being a total atheist, but I'm open to new ideas. But yeah, thanks, Dylan. That was kind of a neat way to end the little note. It's like no pressure note until, oh, total pressure. I don't know. What was my, I don't know. Yeah, perplexing and vexing question. Okay, let's listen to the third track, a bit from it, called Paramnesia.
I can already tell this is going to be one of those episodes when we're done, I'm just going to listen to this album again.
Yeah, this has happened several times to you, I know.
I remember when we did the De Kreutzen episode, we got off the call and I immediately just went and listened to Oktoberfile again. One of the other things about Thief that sort of vexes me is that even though it sounds totally contemporary, but it also sounds sort of like occasionally, not always, but this one does to me, sort of like late 90s, like Matrix, like retro futurist. Think about like Nine Inch Nails, The Fragile, which is also a big compliment for me because I adore that record.
Sure.
But it's like it sounds futuristic, but also references past music that also sounded futuristic at the time and still does.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
don't know. And there was just something really odd about the late 90s that was, well, I guess it was obsessed with the future because it was on the precipice of the future and no one really knew what sort of progress would be made in the 2000s. And here we are 24 years later and almost fucking nothing has happened.
Right.
People have gotten dumber.
Yep.
That's the only progress I've seen or regress, but yeah, so like his music at once sounds future ready, but I don't know, and maybe what I'm trying to say is it taps into this continuum of music that is just pointed toward the future and just sounds sort of just sounds timeless and always futuristic. It's like I mean, when you listen to Focus, Focus doesn't sound like a 90s record. I mean, it sounds like a record sort of out of time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, in a way, it was, when was it released? In eternity. I mean,
Right. I mean, really.
it feels like it's always been there. It always will be. And it will never
Maybe
sound.
Dylan's question has us pondering all sorts of, existential and eternal and cyclical problems here.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been thinking about that question, of course, now, since I got the package yesterday, and I've looked through the book, but I haven't absorbed the booklet. But the booklet is full of Dylan's thoughts about his inspiration for the record, his thoughts behind the lyrics. Sometimes that sort of thing can just give you too much, like you're like thinking like too much about it rather than just letting it, kind of come in waves over you. Like the too much explanation, you know what I mean? Too much chatter around the art. But here, I know this is going to be really helpful when I dive in and to understand his headspace because I really want.
I don't think it is too much, and I still think that with all the context, it still leaves a lot to the imagination.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
16 Deaths was, Jason sort of explained this, this sort of alternate kind of Buddhist concept, but also it's and Dylan's gone on record. I mean, it's a record, it's a an, an album that explores his past struggles with drug addiction in a very, very candid way. But even knowing that, and even connecting some of those dots, it still leaves a lot to the listener's imagination.
Yeah, and I'm curious how that's going to work for me once I absorb the book and all of his notes and thoughts. I think it's only going to enhance the experience. But it's again, this is another reason to get a physical copy of this thing because there's just a lot that went into it, and it's fascinating. Just a couple pages I've read. I haven't absorbed the whole thing yet. I'm looking for. I need a few good hours to just sit with this thing and commune with it. We're going to jump to the fifth song. I'm not sure how you say this. Prank Queen, Prank Queen. Prank Queen. It looks like Prank Queen until you realize there's an A in there. Anyhow.
Some sort of, portmanteau. Again, he's getting better and better at marrying the kind of aggression and heaviness that you talked about with a really, really warm sense of melody, invitation. Those lines were a little less permeable on 16 Deaths. I mean, they were, I mean, they certainly crossed. But there were the divisions were a little starker, and now I think he's just getting better at managing and commingling all those competing sensibilities. I want to kind of go back to what you said about the lyrics and the explanation and everything. Dylan is a really, really gifted lyricist.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I, typically speaking, don't care a lot. You and I read a lot of books, and that's where I care about good writing. But when it comes to music, I really don't care. We talked about lyrics in fair depth on the In the Woods episode because Jon Abel's such a great lyricist. And I mean, there are plenty of great lyricists in the music that we like, but it's certainly a subordinate priority. But I do want to say, and I don't think you'll mind me saying this, but there's a song on the last album, 16 Deaths of My Master, called Night Spikes.
Oh,
And
please say it, say
I
it.
think it's like really one of the greatest lyrics of the last 20 years.
Yes.
It's this basically the song is this meditation on club culture and black metal. There's a line in it that says, "Don't invite me to your nightlife shit. The clubs I like got spikes through it."
And the delivery of that great
Yeah.
line is even better. It's yeah, that's when I first heard that album, I think I got back to you. I'm like, dude, this line, wow. What a lyric. Yeah.
Yep.
The clubs I like got spikes in it.
Yep.
So good. It's funny that you're comparing the previous album to this and kind of where he's come. This is to me a tighter and slightly brighter album, or at least less dark. It's still Thief. 16 Deaths had this kind of alleyway, salacious, grim, dismissive, and sort of nasty tone. This is embracing something else.
Well, 16 Deaths has that, he's talking about scoring drugs and lying about why he's doing it and literally
Yeah.
going through alleys and, it just, yeah, and it does. It's just got this, I mean, I think in a lot of ways it's sort of an exorcism. This record strikes me as someone who has entered a different sort of spiritual phase.
Yes. Yeah, it does seem like an elevation or a move on to another space. Like, I got 16 deaths out of my system. Here's where I'm at now. And again, there's a story on the concept of this record, or at least some of the inspiration, and a lot of it has to do with his father, who it was experiencing dementia, and him dealing with that. Yeah, there's just a new focus here. And well, that's what being an artist is all about, right? Just moving through the phases and exploring with each new endeavor. The next song is called Dead Coyote Dreams. And I find this interesting too. Another thing of timing, because I was just absorbing, I was just watching, I'm trying to watch all the John Mulaney. John Mulaney did a thing recently for Netflix, like six episodes that were recorded initially live. It's kind of like a talk show slash presentation on the city of Los Angeles, which he's not from. But each episode has a theme. The second episode is about palm trees. The third episode is about helicopters. These things that are like, really kind of inherent in LA. And the first one was about coyotes, because there are coyote issues in LA. And I watched that the day before this drop into my mailbox, and Dead Coyote Dreams is on it. And Dylan lives in LA, right? Well, there you go. I want there's more LA coyote intersections here. So it seems to be on the minds of LA's denizens. I don't know if it's related at all to the issue in LA, but we are going to sample a little bit from Dead Coyote Dreams. Every now and then, Dylan's voice will remind me of the clean voice of Dax Riggs in Acid Bath.
Oh.
Kind of how this stuff just drips out without any care, and it's the attitude is just fucking fuck you, and little bit depraved. I got that a lot more on 16 Deaths album, but here in Dead Coyote Dreams, I think we hear it. I don't know if you heard some parallels to Dax, but that's of course again high praise.
Yeah, I haven't that never occurred to me, but I certainly hear that now.
Yeah.
And yes, that's that is it praise of the highest sort from us. The kind of idiots who would drive 11 hours to see Dax Riggs, turn around and drive home the next day.
Yeah.
But
Well,
yeah,
look,
we were fans, yes.
we can say we saw Dead Boy in New Orleans. I mean,
This is
that's
true.
something we can take to the grave, because that's it's a special moment. Not a lot of the, his
I don't
fans
know
would.
if you remember that cab ride back to the hotel, but I was pretty sure that we were taking something to the grave that night.
I don't remember
Yeah,
that.
well, that's another conversation for another time.
Okay. You'll have to remind me later. I can't say this music sounds like it's from LA. I don't think it sounds geographic in any way, quite honestly. I think
I don't
it's
either.
really cosmopolitan and universal and sort of not of a place. However, if you told me this was from New Orleans, I would believe that. It's got that vibe, just that mystical, magical, mysterious quality that that city has always held.
New Orleans is a state of mind, man.
Man,
It
yeah.
may be, my, I don't know, Portland's got its grips in me. Savannah is always going to be home, but in some ways, New Orleans is my favorite city in the U.S.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Yeah.
It has a, like you said, a magic and a, a kind of mysticism about it that I've never, it's its own country. I don't even think about it. It's certainly not the South. It's not even like the rest of Louisiana. I mean, it's just its own thing. But
Absolutely.
golly, man, we've got a lot to think about after this episode. So yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, thank
I'd be
you.
interested to see if Dylan spent any time in New Orleans and
Yeah, I'm curious what he might think of that impression. He might just blow that off, but
maybe
I
people can visit that place and not be impacted by it.
sure. Yeah, sure. Let's do two songs in a row. Tracks 8 and 9 from the album are Dulcinea and Behemoth, another portmanteau perhaps between Behemoth and Mouth. I particularly love the ending of Dulcinea, so pay attention to that, and as that fades, we'll go into Behemoth.
that kind of swaggering nonchalance that you talked about in Dylan's delivery is really, really there in Behemoth.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is not Leviathan when he kind of
Yep.
to peak a little bit and then just draws it right back in. He holds you captive.
He's expressive. He's really expressive. And it's the thing that I think when I first heard 16 Deaths that drew me in. It wasn't the music, which is just rich and layered and wonderful, but it was definitely his voice that got me first. And I think he's better than ever on this one.
He has so much range.
Yeah.
He's a great singer, but he doesn't oversing. I mean, he's a great extreme vocalist too. I mean, he's got this reservoir of of vocal gifts that, I mean, that tells me that he's got a lot of longevity in as an artist because he has so many resources.
Yeah, and I hope we see Thief develop over many more albums because there are so many examples out there where bands that we love just kind of end too soon. You feel like there was so much more to go, and then they just quit for whatever reason. I can't wait to hear the seventh, eighth, ninth Thief albums. Like, where's he going to go? Where is he going to take it? What's he going to do?
Right.
I think there's a lot of there's a deep well there from all that he's shown us so far. So we'll see. I wonder, give some props to the album artist. The art in this book and the cover and inside the booklet is just incredible. It's by a person named Joseba Escubi, Eskubi. I'm probably butchering that to hell, but really remarkable. Also really enjoy that in the sort of the thanks list, he includes my neighbors for not calling the police. I suppose when you record at home,
Yes.
this is what's gonna happen.
Actually, it's funny because our boy Justin Pravat, I wrapped up some percussion for the Dolvin record, the next Dolvin record, and we had
Oh,
to do it.
you're a member of Dolvin too now. Man, what band aren't you in?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I was in Hawkwind a couple of weeks ago. I don't
Well,
know.
yeah, so was I.
You
So
gotta check. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
was my Aunt Jean. I mean, like, we've all been in Hawkwind, we've all been in Hawkwind.
I know I played with Charli D'Angelo at some point. I just, again, it's kind of fuzzy.
No, he played with you. He has played with everybody. You don't play with Charlie plays with you.
In the interest of time, we
Yes.
had to do it. We had to do it here because Justin lives in an apartment complex, and apparently was doing some vocals at an inopportune hour at night after a little too much Jameson, and got the apartment authorities called on him.
Oh
So
yeah.
very kind of Dylan's neighbors not to do the same.
For sure. Thanks, Dylan's neighbors. Kind of a little sidetrack here. I meant to mention this at the top of the episode, as we usually do. But we got a contribution, another one from Chris Warunke, in Canada, and he said he's really
A
excited to hear the.
sweet guy.
He said he's really excited to hear the Morning Sign episode, and that was a great call. So I'm glad somebody out there remembers that band that we'll be covering next episode. And it's weird because it seems like lately we've been getting so many repeat donors. And what I'm going to do soon, and I have to say this is partly at my wife's urging, partly at Forrest Pitts's urging, and partly my good sense knows that we need to do this. But eventually, we're going to offer subscription tiers for people who want to just set it and forget it, because we really, really, really appreciate people giving at all for what we do, and it shows their appreciation for us, which we appreciate back. And I can't have, I don't even have the words for it, because we're just geeks doing what we love to do, and yeah, we'd like to have our hosting costs supported and other costs involved in doing this thing, and the
And
time
make some new shirts.
and make some new shirts eventually. So we are going to have something a little more solid and proper set up for people who want to contribute either as first timers or as periodic donors. So thanks a lot, Chris, and thanks a lot to everybody else who has supported us in the past. Now, let's move on to our final couple snippets. This is the penultimate song on Bleed Memory. It's called Pissing.
No one can rest your soul.
That song fucking melts me. I mean, just swoon. And like anytime I hear a beat like that, like little 17-year-old Hunter who fell in love with Jungle via the Macro Dub compilation just gets particularly excited. Any kind of like syncopated break like that just does my heart good. But man, those melodies on top, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked some of the
Super
active
moving.
keyboard lines rather than just like striking the keyboard and having it sustain, which is what's happening a lot in thief music. But like, you know, these actual melodies coming out on the keyboard. I heard that a lot in Pissing, and then I'd love to hear him do a little bit more of that. But of course, you know, I hope he doesn't look to us for creative direction. He doesn't need any.
He doesn't need much then.
But it did, yeah, it did prick my ears up. And yeah, that's a great song. We come to the album's end already. We skipped over Numa Enthusiasticon, and for a couple guys that love great song titles, there's the song title of the album, the title track, and then a shorter piece called Hexproof. We're going to end with the final song called To Whom It May Concern.
I think that there must be some kismet in the air because this is really, I was, my mom went to a funeral earlier this week, and it was for the mother of one of her best friends who died of complications from Alzheimer's. I'm sitting here at this table, and earlier in the episode, I mean, there's stuff all over, some English muffins, some just in case Alan from Heavy Metallurgy's listening, some in-season tomatoes because he knows that I only fuck with in-season
Well,
produce.
yeah, but yeah, you've made that very clear.
And Alan has made note of this many times. But anyway, I'm sitting here and I see this little program from that funeral at the other end of the table, and I picked it up. And I want to read this really quickly. It's a poem on the back of this program. And it's called Alzheimer's Request. And it says, "Do not ask me to remember. Don't try to make me understand. Let me rest and know you're with me. Kiss my cheek and hold my hand. I'm confused beyond your concept. I'm sad and sick and lost. All I know is that I need you to be with me at all cost. Do not lose your patience with me. Do not scold or curse or cry. I can't help the way I'm acting. I can't be different though I try. Just remember that I need you, that the best of me is gone. Please don't fail to stand beside me. Love me till my life is gone."
Dude, again, poignant.
It was hard for me not to kind of cry when I read that, because it is such a, it's such a an awful and heartbreaking thing to see someone go through, but I don't, I just find it so bizarre. I, you know, I'm a much more spiritual person than you and much more given to these sorts of things, but I still find it odd that this was sitting on the table and I didn't know it before this, and given the nature of this album, I just yeah,
Yeah,
I
no,
just wanted to share
thanks for
that with you.
no, thanks for sharing that. And I think in turn, this wasn't really planned, but I'm gonna, and that wasn't either, but I'm gonna share this from the booklet before we leave. This is from Dylan's recollections on his experiences with his father. So I hope he doesn't mind if I read this. It's here for everybody to read, so I suppose it's okay. Quote, "Throughout all of this, my father's core has remained unshakably kind. Oftentimes, the elderly will have a personality shift in senility, dementia, or Alzheimer's, but luckily, this has not yet been the case. I'm happy to report that as of now, on the eve of 2023, as I write this, he has finally gotten a working cocktail of medications that have helped buoy his descent. He is not lucid all the time, but the decline has slowed and his moments of total confusion are fewer. The last time I saw him flicker out of our world was when we were standing in his kitchen and he suddenly put his head down on the counter. When his sister asked him what was wrong, he looked up and said, 'There was just a man in here.' She asked if he did or said anything and he replied, 'He just told me to not be afraid.'" So, thus ends our listen to Thief's Bleed Memory. This is the final track from the album, To Whom It May Concern. Go out and buy this thing, support it, love it, sink into it, do good by it. And yeah, man, thanks Dylan Neal for the beautiful artistry. Some of the best modern music going. And I I can't wait to get into the first album. Definitely becoming a huge fan.
Same. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you, Jeff. Thank
Thanks,
you,
Hunter.
Legions, for all your support and for accompanying us on this journey. We're all in it together.
I look forward to seeing you and Arcturus, our beloved Arcturus, on Friday. It's going to be amazing in Baltimore.
Kind of wish we were playing before them. I feel a bit uncomfortable about that, but you know.
Partly because what? You're going to have
Oh, because
nerves
I've
before it?
worshipped them for, like almost 30 years now, and because I am not worthy and all that.
You're
So
totally worthy. There's a reason you're up there.
appreciate
There's a reason Agalloch selected you. You're that good. All right, man. Till next time. Well, we're going to definitely return with a new episode much quicker than this last time,
much.
unless I get an ear infection, in which
Don't
case,
say that. Don't put that out there, man.
yeah.
I get any ear infections.
Okay. To whom it may concern.